Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. Are you tired of struggling day after day to reach your financial goals with no success? Do you want to know how to use God's Word as a roadmap to reach your financial destiny? Then this is the show for you. Your host is none other than Sherry Gray, one of America's leading financial coaches. As a host and financial coach, Sherry has helped thousands of individuals and families nationwide, taking them from where they are to where they need to be financially. For the next hour, you will be armed with the knowledge to achieve victory in your finances. You will hear firsthand how Sherry uses biblical principles to teach you how to budget, eliminate debt, and save for your future. And Sherry does it all with a mom's touch, not telling you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And now, here's your host, the Money Mom, Sherry Gray.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thank you guys for joining me yet again this hour. I just want to just say thank you to everyone who's tuning in to my shows. I hope that something that I've said, something that a guest of mine has said, has just touched your hearts. This show is called Listener's Choice, and this is where I just open up the lines, the phone lines, to anyone who wants to call in. And you can call in this hour using the phone number 347-996-3266. You can ask any financial question you want or just a question in general that you would like to ask. It doesn't have to be necessarily about money. And during this hour, I will also just answer questions that I receive over and over again. I have the privilege of instructing, being an instructor for a financial workshop, and I taught the workshop for a number of years, and I kind of get the same questions over and over from people, and these are just some of the questions that I get from my students or I get from my clients, and just some things that you may relate to as well, and just want to share a few of those with you this hour. But first, of course, I want to begin with a scripture. And the scripture I want to read is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And it says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Okay, and I know I love that love is always a part of God's Word. And, of course, this is February, and it is the month of love, and it's our way of, you know, showing our loved ones, whether it be a spouse, our children, the people in our lives that we love, how much they mean to us. And for that reason, I want to share another scripture with you. And this is a very familiar scripture to a lot of people. This is, of course, about love. Let me make sure I have the right one. It's about love. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3, and it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Oh, and let me go on to verse 4. This is my favorite part. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I love that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Again, it's about love. And one of my favorite shows that I ever hosted was about loving your family well. And one of the first things I tell people, one of the things you can do to love your family well, to show your family how much you care about them. Yes, we love our families. We tell our children and our spouses and our moms and our dads and our, you know, grandmothers and cousins and aunts and uncles that we love them. And that's very important. But a lot of us say it with our mouths and don't put it into action. When I say love your family well, I'm talking about putting in place financial directives, making financial decisions today so that when you're no longer here, when you're no longer physically on the earth, that your family will know you love them. And how do you do that, you say? Well, the number one thing, if you do nothing else, if you're listening to this, the number one thing you need to do after you listen to this show or during the show or whenever, immediately, you need to have a state-specific will, okay? This is so important, especially if you have minor children and you have a spouse. This is imperative that you purchase a will. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be a couple hundred dollars. You know, it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. But you need to have a state-specific will. I say state-specific because each state has their own laws. So you need to make sure that your attorney is familiar with the laws in your states as it pertains to wills. So you want to seek the guidance of an estate attorney. I always recommend that you choose an attorney who has been recommended to you or that you know personally. That's very, very important because the last thing you want is to choose an attorney and they kind of have these exorbitant fees. And you really don't, it doesn't have to be expensive. It can be a couple hundred dollars. But in that will, this is so important. When you draft that will, you need to have a couple of things in there. You need to have a beneficiary directive. That means that if you have minor children, that tells your loved ones and the state that you live in who you want your minor children to go to in the case that you are no longer here, that you passed away. Very important. A lot of people feel that, okay, I passed away, my children automatically will go to my relatives. They will automatically go to my mom, my dad, my cousin, whomever is the next the nearest relative. That is not true. If you don't have it written out, your child will be in danger of going into your state's system, the legal system, where they may have to go into foster care until everything is straightened out. The state does not know. They can't assume your wishes. You have to write them out, and they have to be in a place. Once you have your will, you have to put it in a place where the people that you love, that love you, that love your children, can access it. So you can't just stuff it in a corner. They have to know where your will is. So that's so important. The second part of a will you need to have is a financial directive, a financial power of attorney. And this tells your loved ones in the state that you live in how you want your money to be disseminated or dispersed. When you've passed away, you don't want to assume that your relatives are going to know what to do. The one thing that can tear a family apart is money, and you want to make your wishes clear while you're still here so that there's no infighting after you're gone, okay? The third thing you need to make sure that's in your will is a medical directive, and this is so important, medical power of attorney, and this says against your loved ones and your estate, the state that you live in, if I am ever in a position where I'm physically incapacitated, this is how I want my medical care to go. This is why I want it to happen to me. It is so important. So many people don't have a will, and they don't have those key elements within their will, and so your family and your state has to guess at what you want. You don't want them to guess, because what if they choose something that you would not want or that will go against your wishes, but they don't know your wishes because it's not written out. If you don't do anything else today, you need to, today, right now, to search out an estate attorney that you know, an estate attorney that's been recommended to you preferably, and seek their guidance and get a will today. Don't lag on this. This is too important for you to just let slide by. Love your family well. Get that will with that beneficiary directive, that financial power of attorney, and then medical power of attorney. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Forgiveness by Matthew West. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
Help me now to do the impossible.
I want to tell you about my Debt-Free Challenge 2013. I challenge my listeners to get on the road to becoming debt-free in 2013. I don't include mortgages in this debt-free challenge, but every other form of credit is fair game. Email me your total debt and how much you've paid towards your debt at the end of each month so I can keep track of everyone's progress. My email address is sherrygray@themoneymom.org. Each month, I'll award a prize to one person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt. A grand prize will also be given at the end of 2013 to the person or couple who pays off the greatest percentage of their debt for the entire year. The goal is simple. Look at what you're paying now towards debt and increase it to the point that you're completely debt-free by the end of 2013. Whatever you need to do, do it knowing that at the end of 2013, you could be debt-free. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and this is called Listener's Choice. This is all about the topics and the questions that I get over and over again in my financial workshop from my students and from my clients. And as a reminder, every show you can call in with any questions, whether it's just me hosting or I have a guest, you can call in with any question you like. The call-in number is 347-996-3266. And one of the most important topics or questions that I get from my students is and clients is, how do I get my spouse on board with our finances? It is the number one question that I've been asked. And I've even had my husband on the show, and we've kind of gone back and forth and co-hosted a show specifically for that topic. And it was one of the highest-rated shows we've had because it's such an important topic, and a lot of people want to know the answer. And I always tell people, the number one thing I think as women, I can't, maybe men do this too, but I guess in general, there's usually one spouse who is, you know, handles the money, they do the budget, they pay the bills, and most of the time they're the person that likes doing it. The other person is kind of like along for the ride. Well, the person who does all the budgeting and the paying the bills and everything, they're trying to get this person to really look deeper into their finances. They want to get on a plan. They want to get out of debt. They don't want to just, you know, go, you know, live from paycheck to paycheck. They really want to make traction. They want to start saving, you know, for the future. They want to save for retirement, save for college. They have all these dreams and aspirations they want to achieve financially. But one of the main sticking points is that they have a spouse who is kind of, what's the word? They are kind of just riding it out. They like it the way it is. They don't think they need to change. They just, you know, they're okay, you know, at status quo. Whereas the other person, they're really gung-ho. They're really excited about the future and getting their finances in order and excelling in their finances. And they just can't get their spouse to get on board with them. The number one thing a lot of people do, a mistake a lot of people make, the one who does the budgeting and the money, is that they badger the person, the spouse, that does not do the money, doesn't handle money. They have gotten this revelation that they want to get their money in order, and they approach their spouse, who is a little bit more reluctant in not so good way. They, you know, they criticize them. They, you know, they come down on them. They say, well, I know better, and I'm the one who handles the money, and I think this is what we should do. And they're almost treating them like their opinion doesn't matter. They feel like because they make the money decisions that they don't have to include their spouse and they can just tell them what to do because they had a revelation. And that's a common mistake a lot of people make, especially particularly wives. We feel like it's almost, and it comes across as if we're nagging. A lot of times the spouse doesn't want to get the money in order, because who doesn't want to, you know, have $1 million in retirement? Who doesn't want to, you know, go on vacation? Who doesn't want to give like they've never given before to help people that really are in need? Who doesn't want to do those things? Oh, everybody wants to do those things. Most people want to do those things. But it's the approach that we use sometimes that turns that spouse off. So we have to learn, just like, you know, we were talking about at the top of the hour, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. It says love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. I love the verse that says, it does not demand its own way. And I know I am like this, I can be like this. I want my own way, I want it the way I want it, and you need to just come on board with me. It doesn't work that way. You have to, I love the scripture, it's a scripture in the book of James. It says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. I love that because it's something that I, you know, continue to work on in my own life. And it's so true. I tend to speak more and not listen as much as I should. We have to learn to control our tongues. We have to learn to approach people, approach our spouses, approach our loved ones with a kind tongue and not a critical and judgmental tongue. Like we have it all together and they just need to do what we tell them to do. No, love is patient, love is kind. And that's the other thing, too. You approach your spouse in a way that is not condescending, it's not judgmental, it's not hurtful, is not lecturing. And you then after you continue to approach them that way, then after that you have to continue to do it over and over again. And you have to learn how to be patient. Because just because you said it one time does not mean that they're going to automatically be on board. They need to see results. You need to do a little baby step. It's like a diet. You don't just go into a diet, you know, all in, gung-ho. You're going to work out 5 days a week. You're going to eat, you know, Brussels sprouts. And no, baby steps. Week one, I'm going to commit to drinking, you know, 6 glasses of water a day. You know, week two, I'm going to cut out, like, half my sugar intake. I'm going to cut it out. Week three, you got to take it step by step. If you throw everything at your spouse all at once, they're going to just be overwhelmed. They're going to feel like they're being judged, and you're not going to get anywhere. Baby steps. If they do something that you think is so small and so insignificant, praise them for it. To you, it may be a small thing. Maybe instead of taking, you know, buying their lunch 5 days a week at work, they start buying it only 3 days a week at work. That you want them to go down to zero. Well, they've met you in the middle. You should praise them for it. And I know, especially with spouses, we feed on praise. We care what our spouse thinks about us. We care that they're proud of us. So when your wife or your husband, wives and husbands out there, you tell your spouse, the one who's reluctant to get on board with your finances, you tell them, no matter how small the thing is, if they've done something financially to benefit in your family, the lunches, whatever it is, you say thank you. You approach them with a grateful heart, a grateful spirit, a kind tongue, and that's going to go a lot further than you just pounding them and pounding them and pounding them about what they've done wrong and all this. It doesn't work. Approach your spouse with information, with what you feel like you want to accomplish, but approach them with a kind tongue. Include them in every decision. It's not just you. They're included as well. And praise them when they do something good, no matter how small you think it is. And I'm telling you right now, you will be surprised and amazed at how far you get. All right? Well, right now we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of, let's see, Mighty God by Dietrich Haddon. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
my God. All the worshipers in the house, lift your hands and repeat after me.
What a mighty God we serve.
With a budget is something that can be challenging. I wrote my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less, as a response to the budgeting challenges that most of us face. I, like so many other people, have had times where I reached the end of the month, was broke, and had no idea how I got there. As I've worked with clients, I've found that many of them have systematically gone deeper into debt because they lived on more than they made and relied on credit to make up the difference. I teach my clients that if they'll commit to living on less than they make by creating a written monthly budget, they'll reach their financial goals. My proven budgeting strategies are outlined in my ebook and will put you on the path to reaching your financial destiny. Email me at sherrygray@themoneymom.org to learn how to get your copy of my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. Thank you for joining me this hour. This is called Listener's Choice. I answer your questions, and these are questions that I've received from during my workshop from my students and also from my clients, and they're common questions that I've gotten over and over again. In the last two segments, we talked about creating a will, getting a will. If you don't do anything else, if you don't get anything else out of this hour, please get a will. A lot of people believe, they ask me over and over again, you know, you know, some if I pass away, will my kids go to my grandparents, I mean my parents or my aunt or my uncle or my sister or my brother, some family member, and I tell them, no, it doesn't automatically happen that way. You don't want your child to go into foster care because you weren't proactive and got in to get a will. That could, you know, cost you a couple hundred dollars, but it could save your family thousands of dollars in attorney fees because, you know, it had your estate has to go to probate and go to court and be probated, and it's going to save your family money, it's going to save them time, and they're already going to be grieving over the loss. Don't add the burden of, you know, this not having a will in place. That's number one. The other thing I talked about last hour was one of the most, it's the number one question that I get asked. How do I get my spouse on board with our finances? And I tell people, I said it last segment, I'll say it again, you have to approach the spouse who's reluctant with a kind tongue. I can't tell you how important and effective it is how you approach your spouse who is reluctant to get on board their finances. With a plan to create wealth in your life, it's so important how you approach them. You cannot attack them. You cannot be judgmental. You can't say, I got all the answers, and you need to just follow me. I'm the one who pays all the bills anyway. That's not the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about it, about being patient, about being kind, about loving the people around you in such a way. The way God would want us to love them, okay? It's not irritable. It doesn't demand its own way. So you have to approach your spouse, the spouse that's reluctant, in a kind, loving, patient way, okay? It's very important. I think the second most asked question in my workshop has been investing. People don't only want to know how to get out of debt, but they want to know the other side of the coin. How do I build wealth? Because it's not just enough to, you know, create a budget and to get out of debt, but you have to have, and one of the main reasons that I wrote my ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less, is because, you know, my workshops are 3-hour workshops, and people have so many questions, and I created and wrote the ebook to answer all those questions and give you everyday practical tips of how to create your budget and how to save on different aspects of your budget. Because the key to any budget is always, always to find that extra money. You want to always live on less than you make and use that extra money to build your emergency fund, get out of debt, but after that you need to start turning your head and really thinking seriously about saving for the future, your future, and if you have minor children, your children's college future. It is so important. So people want to know about investing. What do I invest in? How do I invest? I tell people the key to investing is always to start as early as possible. When even if you're a teenager, your first job, you know, if you want to put, you know, $100 in a Roth IRA, do that. The earlier you start investing in your retirement, the better it's going to be. I use the illustration with people in my workshop. I tell them, let's just say, for instance, you have a $200 a month credit card, minimum credit card payment, or you have a $200 car loan payment, monthly car loan payment. I say, yeah, right, because how many people have $200 a month in car loan payment? It's like $400, $500. But just for example purposes, and if you were 22 years old, you save $200 a month for the next, until you were 65 years old, so that's the next 43 years, assuming that you have a 10% annual interest return on your money, you will have $1.7 million at retirement. And I asked them, is that, you know, that outfit that you put on the credit card worth it? Is that car worth it? Is that, you know, whatever you bought with that money that you have to pay back, was it really worth $1.7 million? I don't think so. So the first thing people have to do before they even start thinking about investing, they have to begin to do their budget. They have to begin to find the extra money so they can invest in the future. Until they do that, I don't even talk about investing, but if you're at that point that you're ready, you want to invest. And I tell people, you can do it simultaneously. You can save for retirement, get out of debt, and save for your future, because all three are very, very important. You want to begin investing as early as possible. I myself invest in a Roth IRA. I think it's amazing because you fund your IRA with after-tax dollars. And so when you pull the money out of retirement, you're not taxed. Well, they have certain income limitations to the Roth IRA, so everyone doesn't qualify, but most of us would qualify for that. So it's very key. It's also the traditional IRA that you can invest in, which is more works more like the 401k. That's tax deferred. That means you don't pay taxes now, and then you get to write off that whatever you contribute, you know, off of your taxes. But then once you withdraw the money at retirement, you have to pay taxes at whatever your current tax bracket is. So, and then of course people have either the 401k, you know, their employer sponsored investments or retirement accounts, which are 401k, 403b. Or if you work for the federal government, the Thrift Savings Plan. And all of them have different mutual fund types. Most of them have mutual funds within them that they call age appropriate. So if you're 20 years from retirement, they're going to put you in a moderately risky mutual fund. So, you know, you're going to have stocks, bonds, you know, you're going to have, you know, moderately risky investments. If you're 40 years out from retirement, you're going to have age-appropriate fund that's a little bit more risky because you have a longer time to retirement, and if the stock market dips or whatever, you have time to recover. If you're closer to, you know, 10 years from retirement, it may not be as risky as someone who's 20 years out. So they have what they call age-appropriate funds within these different employer-sponsored retirement accounts. Something to look into as well. But if you want to, you know, you can always go into individual stocks. I have a few individual stocks, but it's up to you if you don't want to, you know, deal with the headache of following stocks and seeing it go up and down. If you want a moderate, you know, safer, nothing's completely safe, but if you want to have, you know, some risk, you want to have some skin in the game, you want to be saving for your retirement, but you don't necessarily want to do individual stocks, which are a lot more risky, definitely go with mutual funds that are inside your employer-sponsored plan, Roth IRA, or a traditional IRA if you are your income phases you out of being eligible for the Roth IRA. And, of course, with your children, if you have college savings plans, they have all kinds of college savings plans, which are also tax-deferred. There's also a maximum. You can contribute to that every year. So, but I always recommend to people, no matter what you do, the key is not, you know, you're not going to play stocks, you're not going to do all that. The key is starting early and investing on a continual basis. So you don't just put in a lump sum and just leave it. You want to be consistently every pay period, every month, every time if you work on commission, whenever you get a commission check, you know, put a portion of that, just continually invest in that retirement account, because the more you put in, and the earlier you put in, the better off you're going to be. And I always recommend to people, I tell people, I am not an investment professional by any stretch of the imagination. You need to seek the guidance and counsel of someone who is a licensed investment professional. That's what I do, because I'm not licensed as in investments. And I use this wonderful investment firm that I adore them. They treat you like family. They're awesome. They're great. So that's someone I will recommend to people if they're looking for someone. And the awesome thing about investment professionals, no matter where you live in the country, it's like a lot of businesses, they can work with you no matter where you live. So it's awesome. And I chose someone who I trust. I chose someone who treats me, who explains things to me, who talks to me, who, you know, helps me understand what I'm investing in. And they're just not out for the money. They're out to help myself and my family go further with our finances, so that when we are ready for retirement, when my children are ready to go to college, that we are adequately prepared for the future. So I would definitely recommend, if you're going to invest, the first thing you got to do is to have a budget and have a little extra money left over so you can invest. So definitely, definitely, definitely if you're not into trading stocks and if you're not, if you, you know, trading stocks is not for the person, the faint of heart. If you just want to invest and you really want to be in the game of, not the game, but really begin to look at your future, start now. Employer sponsored retirement accounts. You want to look at Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, educational savings account for your children, and definitely, definitely, definitely seek the advice of a licensed investment professional with a company that you know and that you trust, someone that you've heard of before, not any fly-by-night, your bank, your financial institution, whatever it is, investment company, firm that you've heard of, because I definitely want to stick with somebody that has longevity in this in their profession, and that who's with a firm that you know and trust. So definitely, definitely, definitely a good thing. And right now I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of You Are I Am by Mercy Me. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
Start to question.
This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I define financial legacy as making decisions about how you use your money so that you and your family are living in financial abundance, which overflows into and impacts your community. Then your family and your community will look at your money choices, see the positive impact on your life and theirs, and want to do what you did. As a certified personal finance counselor, my financial legacy workshops focus on giving, budgeting, building wealth, and leaving a financial legacy. A lot of my students want to focus on investing to build wealth. Unfortunately, most people don't have enough money left over every month to contribute what I recommend and are in danger of not having enough money to last them throughout their retirement. That's why I focus on the heart, giving tithes and offering, and budgeting before I ever talk about investing. If you're going to reach a state of financial legacy where you have enough money to pay your bills, become debt-free, build wealth, retire with dignity, and leave a financial legacy that your family can be proud of, the first step is signing up for my workshop. To learn more about how to become a part of my next financial legacy workshop, email me at SherryGray@TheMoneyMom.org. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and I want to tell everyone who's listening out there that I am part of an awesome giveaway. I posted it on my blog. I have a Daily Deals blog. It is themoneymomdeals.blogspot.com, and it is an iPad 2 giveaway that I am partnering with Mom Powered Media. And this awesome gadget has Wi-Fi color. It has 5 gigahertz. It has 16 gigabytes integrated. It has LED backlight and multi-touch. It's Bluetooth enabled. It has a camera. It has everything. It's an iPad, too, of course. So the giveaway is going on right now. It will end on March the 4th, so you got a little time, March 4th at 11:59 p.m. This giveaway is only open to U.S. and Canadian residents who are 18 years plus, and all you have to do is go to my blog, themoneymomdeals.blogspot.com, and type in keyword iPad, and you will be able to register for that giveaway. All right? Awesome. And again, anyone who calls in and for any of my shows with a financial question or any question otherwise will be eligible to receive, or they will receive, a free copy of my new ebook, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. And this show is called Listener's Choice. I answer your questions. This is all about you. These are questions that I get over and over again from my workshop students as well as my clients. So these are questions that I get all the time. We talked about, you know, what will happen to my money, my kids, if I pass away? Won't you know, everything just be, you know, given to my family? No, doesn't happen that way. Have to have a will. Have to have, and in that will, you got to have a financial directive, a beneficiary directive, and a medical directive, so they'll know who you want your minor children to go to in case you pass away, how you want your money to be distributed, and how you want your medical care to be taken care of in case you're ever in a position where you're physically incapacitated and cannot speak for yourself. Definitely want to do that. Second question, of course, that I always get is, how do I get my spouse on board with our finances? And I told you, you have to approach your spouse, the reluctant spouse, with a soft tongue. Very, very, very important. We also talked about investing. Everyone wants to build wealth, and they want to have $1 million when they retire, whatever age they are. They want to have a lot of money in retirement so they can live the rest of their lives in, you know, the lifestyle that they have become accustomed to, whatever that may be. But I would tell people the first step, you got to create a budget so you can see what money you have, so that if you don't have enough money coming in every month, to extra money every month to actually invest in a, such a way that you will have X amount of dollars in retirement, then you need to tweak your budget a little bit, and that's where my ebook comes in. But also to seek the guidance of a licensed, because a licensed investment professional. Investment professionals have to go through a series of tests, and that's what they're called. They're called series whatever number, like series 90, series whatever they are. And they have to pass a series of tests before they can become officially licensed financial advisors and licensed to actually advise you on investments. And so you definitely want to do that, whether it's your bank, whether it's someone who's been recommended to you. I use an amazing investment firm, and they treat me like family, so I love them, love them, love them, love them. That's almost as important as, you know, their knowledge of investing, because I don't want just someone who knows and has the skills and knowledge. They need to have that passion for what they're doing. They need to have a love for people. Like going back to love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, they need to approach people in love. And that's as important to me as your knowledge and skill in investing. So that's definitely a must-have to me. So definitely, definitely, definitely. And one of the things that I tell people, you need to love your family well. You have to have adequate life insurance. And people always ask me, well, I have insurance at work. Well, that's great. That's an awesome start. But a lot of times with insurance at work, they provide you with usually typically two times your annual salary in life insurance. So if you make $50,000 a year, they're going to provide you with $100,000 in life insurance. Well, that's a great start. But you don't want your family, if something happens to you, just to be taken care of for this year and next year. You want them to be taken care of for years to come, especially if you have minor children. Again, I'm going to, you know, say this over and over again. Your family has to be able to have your income replaced from the time from now until your child is 18, or if you want them to go to college until they're 22 years old at least. So you have to think about that. I recommend you purchase 10 times your annual income in level term life insurance. I have nothing against people ask me this, what about whole life insurance? And I have nothing against whole life insurance. With whole life insurance, it's amazing. If you reach the point where you've maxed out your employer-sponsored retirement plan, if you've maxed out your Roth IRA, if you've maxed out your traditional IRA, then by all means invest in whole life insurance that has the life insurance with the investment component built in. Go do that. But if you're someone who, you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck, you are, you know, you're struggling to get that extra money every month to pay down your debt and save emergency fund and start investing in your retirement. If you're barely making it, you definitely want to get level term life insurance because you're going to get more bang for your buck. You can get $500,000 life insurance policy for, I don't know, $30 a month or $40 a month, depending on your, you know, of course it depends on your health, if you're a smoker and things like that. They do like a mini health exam on you to make sure that you're healthy. But other than that, and you want to also make sure when you sign up for it, because it is level term, which means after 20 years, 30 years, whatever your term is, it will expire. You want to make sure whenever you purchase insurance, it expires that way. It's not permanent. It's not whole life that lasts you for the rest of your life. You want to make sure that you want to ask your insurance broker, can I get a policy where once I've done my physical to become eligible to receive this insurance before, can I build something in that says that I don't have to take another physical? Because you could be healthy today, but 20 years from now, 30 years from now, how do you know how healthy you're going to be? So ask your insurance broker when you get the level term life insurance, I want to put in a component where I do not have to take another physical in 20, 30 years. And definitely renew your insurance before it expires, because otherwise if it lapses, you will definitely have to take another physical. So this is very, very important. And those are the things. If you don't do anything else, listen to me. Get a will, get adequate life insurance, and start creating a budget so you can pay for a will, so you can get life insurance, so you can start investing in your future and your children's future. Very, very important. And I end the show now with what I call God is still working. And I want to, since I am the host in the today, then I want to focus on myself, and I love the scripture. I said, James must have, I love the book of James. I said, he must have been talking about me when he wrote this book. He must have had me in mind. Because I love James 1, chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I am, you know, I'm a pretty level-headed person, but I have my moments. I can be quick on my tongue. I can be quick with my temper, and I get offended easily, depending on what the situation is. I can't get offended very easily. So one of the things God is working on me with is the way I speak to people, the way I speak to my family at times. Sometimes, I'm not a bad person. I want you to think I'm a horrible person, but it's just sometimes I need to listen more and speak less, and I think all of us can attest to that. But God is working on me, and not to get angry over little things. I get at times wrapped up in the day-to-day life and getting things done, and I get frustrated and angry. And in the big scheme of things, getting that last little laundry done is not that big a deal. Not getting every single thing on my to-do list as far as work is concerned, it's not that big a deal. There's always tomorrow. I have to learn to really slow down and to really start listen to people. And with what I do when I work with my clients, it's so important that you have to listen, because you can't talk. You have to stop and listen to what their needs are, what people's needs are. So that's what God is still working on me. He's working on my tongue so I can be slow to speak and so they get angry. And I'm a work in progress, I will say. You guys out there, pray for me because I need it. I really, really need it. Well, I just want to thank you guys for just tuning in once again to the Money Mom Show. It is absolutely joyous for me to do this. I can't tell you how enjoyable it is to share with you guys all the time. And I just am so grateful that God has brought you to this show and God has brought you here, because it's not by accident. It's not by happenstance that you're here, that you're tuning in and listening in. And I just want to, but I don't take it for granted, because you could have been doing anything else, anything at all, but you made a decision to either tune in live or to listen to the podcast. And I just hope something that I said, something that I've spoken this hour, this show, or in any of my shows, has been a blessing to you. It's my honor, it's my joy, and I just thank you guys for just being here, supporting me, and continuing to tune in and listen to what, you know, how God is working not only in my life, but also in the lives of my guests, and also in the lives of the people that tune in every week. So I honor you, I thank you, and I thank God for you. So again, if you guys can't listen to the live show, don't worry about it. If you miss a show, don't worry about it. You can always listen to archives of my past shows at themoneymom.org. And just like I said the last time around, I'm going to end the show from now on with the old school, and I ended another show with the same song, so I think it bears playing again. This is called Total Praise by Richard Smallwood, and this is Sherry Gray, The Money Mom, and I will see you next time.